Let us go to the word, Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, destroy him. All right, the part that we highlight is the eternal God with his everlasting arms. Let's go to Hebrews 13, 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Again, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One more time. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. God is eternal. Three times. God is eternal. God is eternal. God is eternal. God is eternal because he alone is immortal. 1 Timothy 6:16, which means there's no death in him. He does not die. He alone cannot die. So that means his life has no beginning or end. Hebrews 7:3 also says. And to those who believe him, he promises eternal life. 1 John chapter 25. Of course, also John 3:16. So whoever believes him, he promises eternal life. What kind of life? Eternal life. So faith is to believe God, who is eternal, and having the promise of eternal life. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. So before the beginning of time, the eternal God promised eternal life. So there are two concepts that are sort of coming together. They're actually opposite, right? So there's the eternal life promised by the eternal God, which was said before time, to those who live in time, he promised such. So how many of you believe that you have received the promise of eternal life? What is eternal life? We'll get there. All right. Faith life is then to be, in order to be welcomed into an everlasting home, an everlasting dwelling, as Luke 16 verse 9 says, in order to be welcomed into an everlasting home, we are to make every effort to make the most of every opportunity given now. Given when? Given when? Ahora, por favor. Right now. And that's it. Not mañana, mañana, mañana. It's not mañana. It's ahora. Right now. Today. This moment. So make every, make the most of every opportunity in order to be welcomed in the everlasting home. Ephesians 5:16 says, why do we need to do that? Because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. Because the days are evil, we are to make the most of every opportunity now, while we're alive, in this place called the world. That's what faith life is for those who believe in the eternal God. How many of you, again, believe that God is eternal, that he has no beginning or end? And right there, we understand that he is completely different from us, that we are completely different from him. We do not know the concept of eternity. We don't. Not to have time is something that is very difficult for us to imagine, because we are born in a place that has time, and that these bodies are like time bomb. Or battery. I think battery is a good way of putting it, right? Battery. So as soon as the battery is manufactured, whether you use it or not, what happens to it? It runs out, right? So sometimes, like, you take it out of the package and you put it into your clock or whatever it is, it doesn't work because it's dead. So it's like that. The body, whether you're aware or not, whether you use it or not, time is passing. So we do feel time. Anyone doesn't feel time right now? Yes, Pastor, I'm feeling time. It's really time still. It's time is standing still when you're preaching. I hope not. Even though no one here has experienced eternity, it is something that we long for as a human. It's our nature to long for something that's lasting and the life that is lasting. Now, it is important for us to understand eternity and the eternal God. We need to talk a little bit about time, because time is complete opposite, and that's what we know. And you would think that time is simple, but if I were to ask you a question, what is time, what would you tell me? It's almost 11 o'clock, all right? There's no other word. Did you know that there's no other way to describe time in English than time? That's the only word. There's no other word to describe it. There's no other word to replace it. So everyone feels that time is passing and they kind of know what it is, but then it's almost impossible to define. So from ancient philosophers to modern scientists to modern physicists, and that's what physicists study about time. No one has come up with an irrefutable definition. So there are many definitions of time, and they're still searching what it means. From, again, physicists to brain scientists. So it is something that we feel, but thanks to Albert Einstein, who was a genius, he made it even more complicated the concept more complicated to understand by coming up with this theory called the theory of relativity. So the theory of relativity basically says that time passes for everyone, but it doesn't always pass at the same rate. So if one is traveling closer to the speed of light or orbiting close to a supermassive black hole, time slows down. So if you know sci-fi movies, or have you still yet to see that movie, Interstellar? I am interested in it, but I haven't seen it because I heard that it's very long and it's about time. So the astronaut goes out in space, and he travels out there at a great speed, and he goes out, again, that's the premise, and he comes back, and he comes back to his daughter, who was a child when he left, but I guess she's older when he comes back. All right, so that's the idea. So that when you're on the speed, and then when you are nearing the black hole, time slows down. So even the GPS that we use on our phones, when we are closer to the Earth's surface, because of gravity is at work, we have the passage of time at certain rate, which gets affected by gravity. And then if we go up to the surface where the satellites are that allow us to use GPS, time is different up there. So this is where, like, the programmers and mathematicians, they put up formulas to adjust that. Meanwhile, I'm screaming at my phone, be like, what can you do? I'm doing that, but it's actually time reason, right? So like, throw away that phone, that stupid iPhone, you know what? It's not the phone's fault. It's the signal and it's the computation to adjust depending on where you are and the speed that you are going at. The sense of time passage or the time passage varies. So that's what Einstein had theorized, and that he actually said that time is the fourth dimension. So you have the two dimension going back and forth this way, and then you have three dimension going up and down, and then time would be what wraps it together, fourth dimension of things. So he combined this sort of the idea of time being very malleable with space and came up with something called space-time. So he came up with this idea called space-time and the universe as a block having space-time. And with that, modern scientists say that while, you know, we tend to think about past, present, and future, and that we are in the present and only present, past is something that you can't go back to. Even though space-wise, you can go back and forth, sideways, even go up. But time, you only go one direction. They call that era of time. And this is related to the, I'm sorry, we thought they were done with science, but I have to bring a little bit of science in there. So the second law of thermodynamics, which says that systems will gain disorder or entropy in time. So things will deteriorate and become disorderly eventually. So according to that theory, time can only go one direction. So you can't go back to the past. You can only be present. So the modern physicists have that understanding. But then the opposing view of that is something called eternalism. No, they're not Christians. This is physicists saying that there is theory or the idea called eternalism, where the past, present, future are equally real. So there's no difference between past and present and real. They're actually experienced all together. Are you confused yet? Because I was confused. I had to study this many, many times. I'm like, what? What are you guys saying? It's not that I don't understand what you're saying, but I don't understand what you're saying. So difficult to understand. So physicists, these are theoretical physicists. They're very abstract, almost like philosophy, but they are connected. So in that sense, just like we think about now in terms of time, and then here in terms of space, these are all together. Now and here, together, and you are just in it one place. But then this actually is packaged and wrapped up together with past and future. So Einstein had said something like, time is but a stubborn illusion. So that's why scientists ask the question, even now, right now in 2021, is time a real thing? Does it really exist? Certainly we experience it in our brain, like when the sun comes and goes out, it's called, the clock. Circadian clock, which is the biological rhythm that, you know, at sunrise you wake up and then sundown you go to bed. And that's what animals experience and plants, even plants. So in springtime they bud and come out, and then in the fall time you have the harvest. So all things within this here in the on Earth that we go through this sort of cycle, 24-hour cycle to sleep and wake cycle. But the way the brain experiences past, present, future is not exactly according to that. There's part of that, but there are other ways of thinking. So you bring what the modern physicists are saying and the brain scientists are saying. The bottom line is nobody knows. Nobody knows the answer of the question. The answer to the question: what is time? Still, people have imagined, based on these theories, time machines, right? So time machines to go back to the past and travel into the future. That's where time machine is coming from. I know it sounds like, beam me up, Scotty. It sounds all silly and everything, but it really isn't. It has been thought of by these super genius people over history to this history of time over to this day. So people have imagined going out into space to be set free, transcend time, or at least slow down time. So, you know, for many, many years and for a long time, people imagine just lay people going on a space shuttle and to go out into the space. And you know what? It's becoming a reality thanks to these billionaires who have nothing else to do but to burn up their money and then shoot up or launch space shuttles. So Elon Musk has done it, and Bezos has done it. And I think Bezos wants to do this space tourism company, and his company is called Blue Origin. And in fact, one of the Star Trek characters had gone up. William Shatner, right? He's like in his 80s, I think, and he was one of the latest ones who actually got on the space shuttle, and he went up into the space to actually look down from space the Earth, and he came down crying. He said he can't believe it's the most beautiful thing that he's ever seen, the most amazing experience that he's ever had, to go out into space and look at the Earth. I don't know how much money he paid for that, but it was a lot of money, definitely. And he didn't even go anywhere farther than that, but still being out in the space and looking at the Earth was that amazing. But in reality, no one can surpass time. As long as we're in this body, in this world, we cannot. So then this idea of only present matters to people, right now is the only thing that matters, then you have people who are going, YOLO, YOLO, right? You only live once. So you enjoy now, forget about yesterday, and forget about what's coming tomorrow. I only care about today. So whatever money that I make, and all the hard earned dollar, I'm going to pull it up. I'm just going to use it to travel and do whatever. I'm going to be on the road, and I don't care. I'm not going to own anything. I'm just going to use it for today, enjoy today. There's so many people, and even because of the pandemic, that people's mindset is like, now is the only thing that matters. And because of that, when we try to evangelize, what happens? What do they say? Church? I don't have time for that. Logos? I don't have time for that. Wednesday meeting? I don't have time for that. I don't have time for church. I don't have time for faith. I don't have time for any of that stuff. I got to enjoy my life now. This is the only thing that I have. This is the only time I have. So it is very difficult to share the gospel, especially nowadays, because people consider coming to church as a waste of time. But when it comes to doing things for themselves that makes them feel good, they don't think it's a waste of time. So people can spend hours and hours at the gym and building up their bodies, and bodybuilders, like, oh my God. I mean, I've seen some pictures, and every shape of the muscle is so pronounced. It's almost like, oh God. But because I never seen that in real life. I've never seen that in real life. Most of the time it's covered by other stuff called fat. But it's like they build all of that, and then like for how long does that last? Like how long does that last? Because there's something called gravity that just pulls everything down. Your face, your muscles, everything starts to sagging and sinking. And then what do you have? What do you have left in the end, right? So they spent all of that time taking care of their body, and they invest all their money and their effort, their passion in building the body. But you can't stop the body from aging. You can't hold it back. Certainly, you can get plastic surgery. You can do certain things to slow down the appearance, right? At least in the appearance, the aging process and nearing death, the shedding of youth and energy. But it doesn't mean you stop. It's impossible to do that for the human. But never mind the bodybuilders. What about other athletes? The same. I mean, Michael Phelps is described to have been trained swimming 8 hours a day. 8 hours a day. So he's in the water for how many part? What's the portion of his day schedule that he is in underwater than above ground, right? He's spending all the time. And of course, it's not just the swimmer, the runners and ball players, whatever. So they're spending all the time physically training because that's what they think that they have is the most important thing. But the body eventually gives out and they have to retire. Some sports have much shorter, you know, lifespan than others. And you can be like 43 and still throwing ball and be a quarterback. Right? But you could be like 19-year-old, 17-year-old gymnast, but you have to retire. So the body has a limited time where it can be active. But not just that. In academia and business, people are spending a lot of time studying and running experiments, observing and writing and publishing and traveling the world to make deals and make money and make investments and trade bonds and whatever it is, commodities and stocks. They're doing all of that, spending all their time. But in the end, when they breathe their last, they will realize all that they have done was in vain because they cannot take with them all that they have done. And this body that we live in is a time bomb, time machine in the sense that it's only going one way and then we can't stop it. And what the Bible tells us is that, yes, this is because God alone is eternal. Olam is the Hebrew word, which has a meaning of long duration or antiquity. But aionios is the Greek word, which means aged long, without beginning or end, eternal. So it never he never ceases to be. So where the Bible describes and teaches us that God is eternal, it means God is without beginning or end. There has never been a time where he did not exist, and there will never be a time when he will stop existing. And he alone is that. How many of you believe? Do you believe that about God? That before all things was God, and after all things pass away, he still will be the God who was and is to come. He alone is timeless. He alone is ageless. He alone is ageless. He doesn't age. He doesn't change. He's always the true God. The only true God means there's no change in him. He's always, his life is never fading, never changing. And that is what the Bible testifies about our God, that he alone is that. Because he is the creator of all things in heaven and on earth. Everything that we see and everything that we do not see, he is the creator of all. Do you believe that? Let's go to Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1, and see what it says about the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And then it repeats for 6 days. There was morning, there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. There was evening, there was morning, the third day. So like the tick-tock of a clock, that we see a pattern of a day beginning and day ending, and that was set in motion when God said, let there be light. And he began the work of creating all things. So we understand this is the moment God created not only the space of the universe, but with it, he made time. See, before Einstein came up with the idea of space-time, for thousands of years, there it is. Are you impressed? I'm impressed. The Bible has testified for all these years saying that God created. He's the creator of all things including space and time. Including what? Space and time. So that's why in the universe, there is time. You're not going to find a place where there is no time. So again, the theory of relativity is a theory. So this whole argument about time is all theorized. There's no clear evidence for time. That's why the discussion continues. Is there such thing as time? But the Bible tells us with space came time, so within the universe there's time. Now, let me ask the question. What about the spiritual heaven? Where is the spiritual heaven? The universe is the material heaven. The spiritual heaven is outside the universe. Is there time in the spiritual heaven? Oh, confidence lost amongst 80% of the room. Or maybe the majority of you are just gray. Just going to pretend like I'm like, not say anything. The spiritual heaven? Supposed to be where we're, with the song that we sang. No weeping, no hurt or pain. Oh my God, all that stuff is so good. It's supposed to be eternal. But why is she asking the question if it's so easy like that? Does it have a beginning? Does it have a beginning, the spiritual heaven? The only one who is without time, the only one who has no beginning or end is the eternal God. Everything, including the spiritual heaven, has a beginning. So by definition, it's not eternal. Do you understand? Say amen if you understood that. But what else happened there? Let's go to Ezekiel 28, 12 to 15. We're going to look at a number of verses, so keep your Bible out. Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You are the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorns you. Ruby, topaz, emerald, crystallite, onyx, and jade. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepare. So here it says, you were created. The day you were created, all these precious stones were prepared for you. So who is you there? It says the word was given to the king of Tyre, but it's actually, yes, there was a man who was a king of Tyre at some point historically, but this is actually speaking to or speaking of an archangel that God made and placed in the spiritual heaven. And for him, were prepared these precious stones, meaning many talents, beauty, to make him all the more valuable and beautiful to serve God. So he was made. And verse 14, you were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked among the fire stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created. So it tells us angels have a beginning, right? Because they're creatures like humans. So there is a beginning to angels. And then you were blameless, right, from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. So we see there's a description of this spiritual being, an angel and an archangel who was made to serve God along with many angels, but this is a leader of angels, and he was placed in the spiritual heaven, which is a spiritual space. But both the spiritual space and the angels, including this one, have a beginning. So they're, because they're creatures, they're created. So anything that's created, who's the only one who's not created? It's God, because he alone is eternal. Everything and everyone that's made has beginning. So has time, is finite in that sense. So we see a change in this angel who said in his heart, in Isaiah 14, 12 to 15, I will be like God. He said in his heart, I will make myself like the Most High. I, me. And then he was no longer able to serve God because now he became so proud and challenged God. So it says, I threw you out of the spiritual heaven. So Isaiah 14, 12 to 15 says, I threw you, I cast you down into darkness to the depths of the pit called Sheol or Ho Hades in Greek. Ho Hades or Sheol all represent darkness, the universe, the material heaven that we live in that we call the universe. Understood? Amen? Yes. So in the spiritual heaven that was made, the angel sinned. An angel, because he sinned, he changed. So change means what? Time. You guys remember Delta? Time? So there's time in the creature because he's a creature. And that occurred in the spiritual heaven, telling you the spiritual heaven itself is not eternal either. And therefore, the fallen angel was contained in the universe, which has time. Are you following me? How much time has passed? Never mind. Okay, so the angel changed and the corrupted angel was cast down. And it was in this space God made all things that we know as the world today, including the human race, the mankind. So God made Adam, our ancestor, as a living being. So he is flesh on the outside, but spirit inside. The flesh is finite. The spirit is, it has a beginning, but it has no end because it's spirit. So in Genesis 2:7, God breathed into the man the breath of life. And the man became what? A living being. What did the man become? A living being. A living being is a spiritual being in the flesh, meaning we live one finite life, whether 1 year or 100 years. We live a finite life, no doubt about that, right? No disagreement on that. But the spirit inside, whether you feel it or not, came from God. And because God is eternal, his spirit, he breathed into the man, and the man now is from then on spiritual being, a living being. And he's the ancestor of all men, and we became also living being from then on because we inherited the flesh, the spirit along with the flesh. So say it with me, I'm a living being. In other words, I'm spirit. In other words, I'm a soul. Turn to your neighbor. What are you? Yeah, I'm a soul. I'm a soul. So because of that, we have this desire that's innate. We don't know where it came from, but we want to live on. It's not just by instinct we want to survive, but we don't want to disappear. So people do say, who don't even believe in God, they don't believe in heaven and hell, but they say, after I die, I think I may exist. I think there is some part of me that's going to exist. Because people don't want the idea of disappearing. They want to last. Even as A-T-O-M, Adam, or Adams, right? So even some kind of, in some form, they want to last. But what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, where in that passage 1 to 11, it talks about there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build, continues. And then in verse 11 it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the heart of man, in the human heart. This is why we dream of eternity, because we are spiritual beings. Do you understand? So coming from God, we are to go back to God to have eternal life, but our ancestor disobeyed the word of God and sinned. By taking the fruit that was forbidden, he broke the word of God, he rejected the word of God that is life for the spirit, and therefore he sinned and death came as the price of sin. So that death came through one man and came to all. 1 Corinthians 15:21, since death came through a man, right? All men died. Romans 5:12 also says. So we all died spiritually without knowing. So there's the flesh that will die one day and the spirit is already dead, meaning it's going to go to the place of spiritual death, eternal death forever and ever, to suffer in the place. And that's called hell. That became the destiny for all mankind. And even though no man knew this for a long time, God wanted men to realize how empty and sad and pathetic the human life is. So let's look at that. Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. You turned men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning, though in the morning it springs up new. By evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain the heart of wisdom. So understanding how sad our human life is, whether it's 70, 80, or 90, even 100, we are all going to disappear. We're all going to end dead and fade away. And in this short life, we are filled with trouble and sorrow. How sad is this human life? In light, in the eyes of the eternal God. So before the eternal God who knows all, we can only expect, assume judgment coming after this short, brief life. Therefore, teach us to number our days. Meaning, teach us to know that our time is passing right now. Time is passing right now. Even as we sit here, time is passing. So in Proverbs 6:6, it says, go to the ant. Ant, you know, ant, the bug on the ground. Ant, you slugger, you lazy slugger. Consider its ways and be wise. Learn from the ant. What does the ant do? The ants go marching one by one. Hurrah, hurrah. It's always marching, 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 marching. It's got an army following after. What is it doing? It's always busy. It's busy doing something, gathering food. It's always, sometimes you catch them with the little things on its head. It's kind of sad because you can go like this and it's over. It has no idea what's coming. It's like totally two-dimensional. But it's just in its program, its instinct to work hard, 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 so that when the cold weather comes, it's got food in its colony and then they're surviving. So learn from the end how time is passing. Plan ahead and be wise. The Bible shows us throughout the history of Israel where many kings rose, many kings were born and died, many kings rose to power, but they were wicked, so they were struck dead. They were destroyed. So one lived and died. The other then came and lived and died, lived and died, lived and died. That's the pattern of the Chronicles, as we read about the kingdoms of Israel and the kings of Israel, showing that no one lived forever. Even though they did live long years, does not mean that they were living forever. When God called a man named Abraham, he made this covenant with him, and that he promised him that if he would listen to him and go to the place where God instructed him, that he was going to have many offspring and that he's going to inherit the land of Canaan, but his descendants will be many, but they will be in a foreigner's land for 400 years. But after that time, he will bring them back out. He promised that to Abraham in Genesis 15, 16. But Abraham, and he did have son, and then he lived some more years, but he died. So by the time the descendants were many, close to 2 million, and become slaves in Egypt, nobody remembered about the promise that God made to their ancestor Abraham. But God did. Because the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Why does it repeat that throughout the Old Testament? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The God who promised Abraham fulfilled his promise for him, even though Abraham died. God who promised to Isaac, he fulfilled that promise, even though Isaac died. And Jacob, the same. So everyone comes to life and then goes. But God is forever. And even if Abraham had died was dead for hundreds of years, God remembered his promise. So when it was exactly the day that turned 430 years, Exodus 12, 40 to 41 says, that was when the Lord's divisions, meaning the people of Israel, left Egypt. Because God fulfilled his promise no matter what, even after the one that he promised to has long been gone. Do you believe that? To remind the people of that, God commanded them to build the tabernacle and later the temple. And in it was the name of the Lord God, Jehovah. What name is that? Jehovah. Jehovah is the name of God of the Old Testament, and that name means the God who is from eternity. Psalm 93 verse 2 and Isaiah 40 verse 28, the everlasting God. He is the everlasting God, the eternal God. So Jehovah was the name that was inside the sanctuary, and the people of Israel, they remember, even though we are long gone, that his name, he is eternal, and his name is the eternal name, Jehovah. And that when they were given the law, the commandment, if they obey the law, they will be blessed to live a long life. What kind of life? Eternal life? No. What kind of life? A long life. Even to this day, religious Jews, they religiously keep the Sabbath, give tithe, they obey for the promise of long life. So Deuteronomy 6:2 and 22:7, you may enjoy long life if you obey my commandments. So the stone tablets were in the sanctuary, and they remember that as well. As Job 36:26, how great is God beyond our understanding. The number of his years is past finding out. Try to count how long he's been around. It's impossible because he has no time at all. It's not that God is old, old, old. Man, God must be really old. Yeah. Because when you see painting of God, like, you know, it's like he has long beard because he's been around for a long time. All gray and long and just old grandpa. But that's not who God is. The fact that we age, the hair changes, we gray, and we got the, as Aaron used to say, when you're like, grandma has a lot of lines on her face. Line means wrinkles, right? Wrinkles, when she was a baby, she used to say they're lines. So these lines mean that your life is escaping, you're aging, time is passing. You can see that. But God has no time, so no aging, no graying, right? And no getting weak. So Daniel 7:9 says the Ancient of Days. So when we think ancient, it means old and weak, but it actually means the opposite. The splendor, the grandeur, and the power, and the strength, the life of the one who was and is and will be is God. So the temple was very important to the people of Israel. Yet because they disobeyed, they were struck dead. They were taken as captives. Their lives were not long. Their lives were not blessed. But as the temple was once torn down and then rebuilt and it was standing in their midst, they believe in God's promise that he will bless them, that he will remember them. And there was a very interesting prophecy. Let's look at that together. Jeremiah 4:20. Disaster follows disaster. The whole land lies in ruins. In an instant, my tents are destroyed, my shelter in a moment. Read that again. In an instant, my tents are destroyed, my shelter in a moment. My tents, my shelter, this is referring to my dwelling place. So there is a prophecy by Jeremiah saying about someone's tents are destroyed. Someone's dwelling place will be destroyed. Uh-oh, what's this about? So keep that in mind. And when it was time, God sent his son in the name of the Father, Yeshua. And the Son of God, the man who called himself the Son of God, stood before the temple of Jerusalem that had the name Jehovah and said, what? Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. Destroy what? This temple. Destroy this temple. Destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days. Now, the Jewish leaders heard this, the ones who had hope for the restoration of Israel one day and looking for God's blessing to extend their breath and live long life, blessed life, because God is eternal. He will bless them with long life on earth. And here is Yeshua saying, destroy it. There would be no hope and no blessing for the people of Israel. So they were angry and they could not believe what he was saying, that he was going to build it again in 3 days. And they said, it has taken 46 years and how can you rebuild it in 3 days? It's absolutely ludicrous. It is blasphemous. You need to die. So that's why they conspired to put him to death in the end. But what Yeshua was saying, what he was referring to was the temple of his body. He's saying, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be destroyed by the hands of men, but this is all according to the Father's plan, the Father's will for which I came. But after that destruction, after my death, I'm going to be raised back to life. So what was he referring to? He was referring to his death and his resurrection. Remember what Jeremiah said. My tent is destroyed. My tents are destroyed. My shelter in a moment. So my tent, my shelter, so that is talking about the temple where the name Jehovah is, and that was the God of Israel that was brought to them through Moses by an angel in the name Jehovah. Again, who's an angel? Angel is a creature. Does he have time or not? Yes, angels have time. So time, creature, bringing the name Jehovah, meaning it's going to end. Do you understand? The temple that has the name Jehovah, that's brought by an angel, that is time, in the space that is time, is going to end. So it's temporary. That's why Yeshua said, I will raise it again and build a new temple. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you understand that? That when he's saying, I will raise it again, he's talking about the temple of his body. That he has come in the name Yeshua, that is the name of the eternal God. John 5:43, the Father's name, not Jehovah, but the name the Son of God brought, that is the eternal name of God. Which name is that? Which name is that? Go to John 1:1. John 1:1, even though you opened it, just look at it. Do you know how many times I've looked at it? I still open it up, okay? John 1:1. Be humble, be like a little child, eager to learn, eager to know. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word was the eternal God. Say it with me. The Word was the eternal God. The Word is the eternal God. What do we say about the creation of creation of all things, the creation of space and time? Who made it? God. God. But here in John 1:1, who made it? Verse 3. What does verse 3 say? Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So what is it saying? Through the Word, all things were made. So who made them? Yeshua made them. Hallelujah. Yeshua made all things. Yeshua made time and space. If you understand and you believe that, say amen. Amen. He is the God who was in eternity, having no time as God. No beginning, no end to his life. He who alone is immortal, who knows no death, because there's no end to his life. Do you understand? He is the eternal God who created all things. Time came from him. Space came from him. Angels came from him. The spiritual heaven came from him. The material heaven called the universe and everything in it came from him. But then, what happened to him? Verse 14, the Word and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the eternal God who was in eternity, who was and is to come, became flesh. Uh-oh, what is flesh? Flesh has what? Time. It is finite. So the infinite God, the everlasting God, the eternal God became finite in the finite body and entered finite space, the space and time, the space and time that he himself made. Do you see that? So the Word in the beginning is the one who made all things. And when the Word became flesh, the Creator, who is the eternal God, enter that time and space that he himself made. And to testify about him, all things were made ahead of him. So let's go to Romans 8. Like I said, we're looking at a lot of passages here today together. 8:38. We're jumping around a little bit. 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. So here, Paul is describing about all creation here. So we start from the very last of the verse 9 there. Anything else in all creation. So all creation includes, again, not just the trees and the mountains and the seas and the creatures and humans, but it includes these things. Angels, demons, the present and the future. The present and the future, what is that? Time. What is it? Time. And then the height. Where's the place that is in the highest place? The spiritual heaven. And depth. What is the, remember, if you don't believe Jesus, you're going to go downstairs. What is that? Depth? Depth? The depths of the pit, referring to the universe. So right here, we see all things, all creation that have been made by him, for him. Where does it say that? Go to Colossians 1:15. Colossians 1:15. Help your neighbor if they can't, they're having a hard time finding. Colossians 1:15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Is this making sense for you now? Are you looking at it? Who is he here? He is before all things. In him all things hold together. Who is he? We start in verse 15. It is talking about the Son, Yeshua. Amen? So don't just say God. Oh, it's God, God. You have to be more specific. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Be eager. And confirm yourself. Don't just go, amen, amen. That's a religious person. I just go with the vibe. Amen, amen. Okay, all right, all right. No, man, no, man. Amen, amen. You got to understand. Understand. To be a disciple, you need to understand. So you can make disciple. Amen. The Son is before all things. In him, all things hold together. So he created all things, including time and space, and they're all held together by him. But he became flesh that has time, that is finite, and as the Son of Man, he entered time and space, called the universe, and walked on earth that he himself made. Isn't that incredible? It's hard to believe that the Creator God, who has no time, knows no time. He doesn't know what it feels like to age. He doesn't know what it feels like to change. One day your body's healthy, another day your knees start to hurt and your back starts to hurt because you're aging. Your body's getting old. Your toothache and tooth falls out. Hair falls out. Everybody's aging at the same time. It's not just older people, folks. Everybody. But God knows none of that. But that God became flesh. For the purpose that the Father sent him, he came as the Son. Yet during his public life on earth, as he was preaching and teaching and healing and doing all that work, he did reveal that he is the one who transcends time and space. So in John 1:46 on, it says Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, and he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Now, the disciples had gone to Nathanael and said, "Oh, come and see the one that the prophets had talked about." And then he's like, "Well, could anything come out of Nazareth? I don't know." He's like, "Come, come." Then he comes as he's walking toward Yeshua. Yeshua said, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And then Nathanael said to Yeshua, "How do you know me?" And Yeshua said, "I saw you while you were still standing under the fig tree. I saw you before you came here." And Nathanael's, "Oh, you sure are a man of God. You sure are the one who's prophesied to come. Because if not, how could you have seen me when you were not there?" So it showed that he surpassed his space. Yeshua was in a different place, but he saw Nathanael in another place. And a time when he was speaking with the Jews, or before the Jews in John 8:56-58, he said to them, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day, and he saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old," he said to him, "and you have seen Abraham? Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Before Abraham was born, I am. He's saying, before the mountains were formed, before the seas were formed, before the universe, the stars were set in place, before the spiritual heaven was made, before the angels were made to fill the spiritual heaven, before anything was, I am. So Yeshua is saying that he is the eternal God. And that's why he promised those who follow him to have eternal life. John 10, 27, 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. If you follow me, obey my word and follow me, you become my disciple. You follow me and live by my word. You believe me, believe my word. Then you will have eternal life and you will never lose it again. And you shall never perish. If not, what happens? Matthew 25, 41, depart from me, all you who are cursed, into the eternal fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. Jude 1, 7 says, those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. So he warned against those who do not believe in, who do not follow him, that they will warn them about the eternal fire waiting for them. The reason why hell is so scary is because the pain that is brought on by the fire will be forever, for the fire is eternal. So he is the eternal God who transcends space and time, yet he became flesh, and that was for the purpose to die, to fulfill the will of the Father. So when men came to arrest him, he did not transcend and float around and then set himself free, but he was arrested. When they beat him, he was beaten. When they flogged him, he was flogged. When they nailed him to the cross, he died. But as he died, he said his last words, and what did he declare? It is finished. Say with me, it is finished. It was the moment the Son of Man was laying down his life that marked the end of the life of the Son of Man. Which means the life inside of the life that he lived in the flesh is the time that he brought in that flesh. So he is the Word that became flesh, the eternal God who became flesh. That flesh is 100% flesh. And that 100% flesh has time. So he came with time, and as his body was nailed to the cross, that time was being nailed to the cross, marking the end of that time. Now remember, the present, the future, the height, the depth, or anything else in all creation was made by him, for him, through him. It is for the purpose of God all things were made, including time and space. All of that was prepared for God. To do his will, he sent the Son to do that through his death. So when he died and breathed his last and his body died, it was the moment that time was put to end. Do you understand that? But we still have time right now. Soon we're going to go eat bagel and have coffee. Time's passing. That time is a remaining time, folks. Remaining time. All that time and space up until the coming of Yeshua and his death was prepared for him to die and put to an end of all things. So through his death, by laying down his life as the Son of Man, he was obeying the command of the Father. And that was because he had the promise that he will take up his life again. And this time, that life will not be taken away from him ever again. That he will receive eternal life. As he said in John 12, 50, I know that his command leads to, what did he say? His command leads to eternal life. The command that he received from the Father, John 10, 17, 18, is for him to lay down his life. And that by laying down his life, he testified that the Father alone is the eternal God. Hallelujah! That God, the Father alone, is immortal. Even though he is also God, by laying down his life and dying, only the Father is the immortal God. Hallelujah! He judged the devil who forgot that he was a creature and challenged God. And through his torn flesh, he let out his blood, his eternal, precious, imperishable blood for those who believe him to drink and have eternal life. Hallelujah! So the flesh of the Son of Man had time that was nailed to the cross. But what about the blood of Yeshua? Does it have time? What do you think? Is this too abstract? I know it is a little abstract. Even physicists with lots of PhDs are confused about time. So I understand. It is confusing. But we need to think about God, the eternal God, and the eternal God coming as man, Yeshua. His flesh had time that he put an end when he died. But what about the blood? Yes, is spirit. Spirit, the blood has no time, the blood is always eternal. So that today, in the future, we can receive His blood brought to us by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! Do you understand? You learned a lot today, right? The flesh of the Son of Man, the blood of the Son of Man, different. One has time, one doesn't. But His death was real. He did die. But in 3 days, He was raised back to life. He resurrected. How many of you believe that? Say amen. He testified that He is, in fact, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say with me, Yeshua is the same. Hallelujah. And He entered that spiritual heaven, which we had begun. We began by saying, has time, right? But now He's resurrected in the spirit body that knows no time. Through resurrection, now He has a spiritual body. In that spiritual body, He entered. So He cannot enter a place that has time. That heaven has to be now eternal space. But didn't sin occur there? Yeah. The angel that changed, that occurred there. The angel that has time, the spiritual heaven that has a beginning, occur there. So that's why in Hebrews 9, 23, 24, Yeshua's blood was sprinkled on the souls of men, but also in the heavenly sanctuary. If you remember in the Old Testament, the priests sprinkled blood in the tabernacle. In the heavenly tabernacle, the blood was sprinkled, and that blood is what kind of blood? The blood that knows no time. It's the eternal blood of Yeshua. So that space now is made eternal, having no past, no present, no future, no time at all. Hallelujah. That's where we are promised to go when we call on His name and receive His blood. Say amen if you have called on His name, Yeshua, to be the name of your Savior. Have you received His blood? We have the promise of eternal life as a result. And that eternal life is to be had in the eternal heaven, eternal space, which is also described in 2 Peter 1:11 as the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why there's no weeping, no sadness, no hurt or pain, no aging. How many of you like the sound of that? No aging. No aging. They go anti-aging this, anti-aging that. They're all lying. There's no anti-aging. Everybody's aging. You can't stop it. But in heaven, there is no aging. There's no change. Only the same, because Yeshua, His blood made the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, how I want to go there. Amen. The Holy Spirit came from there to let the mystery of God, the mystery of the will of God, be known through the church. The church, Ephesians 3, 9 to 11 explains, to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Ephesians 1, it actually says, when the times have reached their fulfillment, as in, a train running, and when it's arriving at Penn Station, the final destination, it gets louder and faster. You've seen that in the movies at least, right? So, because it's the final stop. It's over. So what Ephesians is describing is the plan of God, the schedule of God has come to an end with the death of Yeshua on the cross. But then many of you are going, but pastor, it's been 2,000 years since then. Hello, it's 2022. I told you I know that already, yes? 2022, and why are you talking about the end that was done already? I don't get it. I'm confused. This time that we are living right now is called a grace period. Oh, now you know what that is, right? Your credit card bill always talks about grace period. It's grace period, where the interest rate is not going to be put on to the amount that you owe if you pay back within those 23, 24, 5, 8, whatever, 8 days. So the grace period that we have now has been given to us by the grace of God. And why? What do you think that is? If Yeshua said, it is finished, and all the plan, all the schedule that God had put in, and then the train had come to, has come, why is this world still going on? Go to 2 Peter 3, 8. But do not forget this one thing. Dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So why do we have this grace period? Why is there a remaining time? You know, every game has a remaining time, right? It's the funniest thing, like all these games, like it's like 1-2 seconds left. And then the game can be like completely changed over, right? It's just like depending on what the score is. But so many things can happen within like a second. So stop the clock. So remaining time. So even that 1 second can mean losing the championship or winning the championship, right? So this is what we are living right now, the remaining time. We don't know for how long, how much longer. But what the Bible is warning us, to God, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years are like a day. For some people, it feels like 1,000 years. For others, it feels like a day. To God, who has no time, he doesn't feel at all. Now, he wants to wait not even one more day to punish the devil, his enemy, in the fire of hell. But he's willing to wait longer, even for thousands of years more, for one more soul to come back to him, repent and come back to him and be saved and have eternal life. What do you say to that? Thank you, Yeshua. Amen. Because of his waiting, I am saved today. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day for you to hear the gospel. Now is the day for you to repent. Now is the day you must turn from your ways. And now is the day you must follow him and be saved. Because as John the Baptist has said in Matthew 3:10, the axe is already at the root of the trees. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Yeah. So before the Lord comes back, that I'm no longer fruitless, but I'm given this remaining time. I don't know how much more time I have, but I have today. I have this day that I need to be spent. I need to spend wisely, diligently to bear fruit so that I'm not cut down to be thrown into the fire. What do you say about that? So a Christian is someone who has been born again. Christian is a man who was born again in the eternal blood of Yeshua and has definitely has eternity set in his heart. That his hope, his purpose is eternal life. What is your hope? What is your purpose? What is the purpose of coming today? What is the purpose of coming to every gathering? Eternal life. Because I want to live forever. I want to live forever. I want to be in a place where there's no aging, no sickness, no change. I want to be with God. I want to be like God. I don't want to perish in the eternal fire. So the Christian who is helped by the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, is someone who has now changed his worldview. His worldview, his life view, which is that now he sees the value, the most value in spending time for eternity. Not worrying about what happened before and not worrying about what may come tomorrow, but knowing that I'm living this day, I want to make sure that I don't waste it on worldly things. That I want to save my precious time in this flesh for doing God's work, the Lord's work, the work for my soul, the work for the church, the body of Christ. And I am not chasing after things that are fleeing, that are disappearing anyway. Oh, you mean like I don't need to, I can't go to work? I can't do other things? I told you to go to work. Go to work. You need to go to work. Work with your hands and you need to feed yourself. But then you have to think, what will allow me to use most time for my soul? So as you are making decision about the career, the job, the place you live, the relationship, whatever it is, it has to be for earning time for eternity, investing my time for eternity. Anything that is causing me to waste and spend, I need to stop. Because there is no guarantee and no promise for such empty deeds. So the man of the spirit is someone who knows that laziness will be judged. Laziness will not be forgiven. All our sins will be forgiven, but not laziness. You know what that means? Because of laziness, people don't pray. They say amen here, but come tomorrow morning, they don't come because they can't get out of bed. Ah, too tired. Mañana, mañana. If I don't come today, tomorrow I'll go. It is to understand that tomorrow is not guaranteed. The Lord gave that parable of talents in Matthew 25, 24, 31, that everyone is given a talent. A talent, people think, oh, talent, you mean like singing talent, artistic talent, or physical talent. That could be that too. But the talent that every one of us has received is the time in the flesh. So what are you doing with your time? That's the question. People say, like, oh, I'm falling asleep at church. I'm so tired. So why are you tired? Because I'm working so hard. So do you have to work that hard? I'm not promoting laziness and sitting around and asking people for money to survive. You do need to support yourself for daily bread. But outside the daily bread hours, what else are you doing with your time? Doing this, time is like, wow, like goes by like crazy and you don't even know it. Live streaming, it's like in queue, coming next, 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 next. I spent 6 hours watching a movie. Or I've heard somebody like, oh my God, I play a game for 10 hours. And they're like boasting, I play a game for 10. Wow, we must be living a different world because, like, first of all, I would not even say that in front of people. We need to have now this switch view of the world and values of the world. So this is why the Apostle Paul, who did not even get married, understanding and expecting the Lord's return, he said, it's not sin to marry. Coming from him, this is a lot. Coming from me, it's not. Because I have a family, so for me to say, someone go like, yeah, Pastor, but you have a child and then you marry. Pastor King, you too. You don't like us to get married, but you have married. Yeah. Okay, so let's see what Paul said. If you do not marry, you have not sinned. And this is in 1 Corinthians 7, 28. A virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. Do you agree? If you are married in your family, this is burden. Because they're your responsibility. Especially when you have kids, it's like more than one even? Oh my gosh. It's like, so I can't even imagine how that is. It's like whether you have a good child or a bad child, it's still your burden. Because you're always thinking and worrying about them. So that's what Paul is saying. And you marry. So what I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy if they were not, as though they were not. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. Because an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, but when he wants to please the Lord. But once he's married, then he's concerned about the affairs of the world. He needs to support the family. He needs to show that he cares for his family. So his interest is divided. That's what Paul was warning against. Unless you have the ability to live as though you are not married, as though you did not have family, that you prioritize spiritual life and you're running like hell, like crazy towards heaven, then don't. That's what he's saying. So that's what we need to think about. What can give me more time? What can cause me not be lazy? That's the question. Is this making me lazy? Is this slowing me down? Am I compromising? Because as a Christian, we must be doing something for the Lord, for my soul, for eternity. Amen? It's not enough you come to Sunday service once a week. Oh my God, you're so demanding. It's not me. It's the Lord. I just spent all this time trying to explain and share with you and trying to highlight how beautiful eternity is. How beautiful the eternal God is. To show you, to help you understand about our limitations. And therefore fall at his feet and bow down before him. You alone are eternal and, oh God, I want your eternal life. For that, we fear to be judged as lazy and wicked in that day. Why do people not evangelize? Because they're lazy. Why do people not want to serve? Because they're lazy. So when we come into the house of God on the Lord's Day and start the week by worshiping Him like this as members of the body of the church, we are entering His time. So even if the service goes for 2 hours, you're not going, and most of you are not doing that, but sometimes I shoot people because they figured out there's a big clock in the back. Oh my God, time stood still. It feels like eternity right now. When you enter in the presence of God, you ought to not think about what has happened in the past and what's going to happen next. Because what has gone, you can't even go back. Past is not to be revisited. It's impossible. All we have is right now, the present day. So that's why we must begin each day as the Lord's Day, Lord's Prayer teaches us. Give us this day. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you have daily bread? Then be content with your daily bread. Do not be greedy, but be content, be grateful for that daily bread. And then give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What does that mean? As John 20, and the Lord sends out the disciples to go out, whoever you forgive, their sins will be forgiven. Whoever you don't forgive, they won't be forgiven. It's not just about personal forgiveness. It's about the news of the forgiveness of one's sin. The forgiveness of sin that was made possible through the death, the mercy of God, the salvation of Yeshua. That's what we are to do. We need to go and declare the good news of the forgiveness of sin. And we also need to forgive one another. That's what we pray. That's how we begin each day. Because we are waiting to be taken up to that eternal home one day, where there's eternal rest, eternal comfort, eternal peace, eternal glory. Therefore, whatever comes our way, we endure. Whatever test we encounter, we are faced with, is just brief in light of eternity. In light of eternity, what we are enduring is nothing. The heartache, the hardship. Sometimes after you work so hard for a soul or souls, and then they just come and one day go, I'm not coming anymore. Blah, blah, blah. And you're like, and then next day you're beating your chest, your heart's broken. I spent all my time and my effort in this soul, and they're just, even that is brief in light of the glory that's awaiting us. As Paul reminds us, therefore we do not lose heart in 2 Corinthians 4:16. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What is unseen is eternal. So whatever we endure, the hardship, the trouble, the persecution, the isolation, it is just brief in light of that glory that is awaiting us, that is eternal. Our home that is waiting for us, that is prepared for us in heaven, is an eternal home. Until we are being taken up, we ought to be spent. We ought to be poured out of everything that we have in this life, in this brief life. For the Lord, for the glory of His name, for my soul, for eternity. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Can you put your hands on your left side and feel the beating of your heart? Your heart is beating. But one day, it's going to stop. One day, it will stop. And then what? It's too late. It's too late to say, oh, I wish I could have, would have, Too late. While this heart of mine is still beating right now, I want to be spent for eternity. Not just coming here once a week like a Sunday Christian, but to be spent every day, every moment of my life for the Lord, for eternity. So help me. Help me. I want to be spent for you. I want to be spent for eternity. I want my heart to be spent for eternity. I want my youth, my passion, my talent, my words. towards my body to be spent for eternity. Yes.